Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps, and today, after a little absence from the screen, is Andy Buxton, Managing Director of Alice Queen, ASX code AQX. Andy Buxton, trading halt on Monday. Here we are a little bit later in the week, not much later, but boy, oh boy, have you got some big news. Now, there is lots of us for us to cover today, but I want to talk about New South Wales. I want to talk about Horn Island. I want to talk about Fiji. But before we go into those two, can we just start with New South Wales? Because you have been doing a lot of work on the Northern Molong project, more specifically Boda East, which is not far away from the Alkane Resources Boda discovery. So where are we at with that, with Alice Queen? What's happening? Are you getting, because you told me you're getting pretty excited about what's going on.
Well, thank you. Yeah, Kerry, we are still very excited. I think we've completed 7,000 metres up there now. And so we're really getting to understand what we're dealing with. We've had some pretty good hits, we reckon. I mean, they've been slim intervals. Everyone can see that from our announcement. But the main point is that we reckon we're across a strike of about 500 metres, and we reckon we're hitting the top of a porphyry complex. Wow. That was what we set out to do. We're pretty happy with where we're at. We've got three more holes still to come in terms of assays. So right now we're being a bit reserved about what next until we see the results of those last three holes. But I think it's entirely likely we'll be going back in there and drilling some further holes to follow up on that. So we're pretty excited about that.
So, ladies and gentlemen, he's staying a little bit quiet on this one at the moment, but you're quietly optimistic that there could be a good porphyry system out where you're looking.
Well, definitely, according to our technical guys, we've definitely hit a porphyry complex of some sort. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't mean we've made a discovery at all or anything like that, but... Right. What it does mean is that we're hitting the right rocks. We're seeing the right things at the bottom of these holes. It is deep. There's no avoiding that. 500 metres below surface is roughly where this, you know, where this thing's starting. But we're encouraged enough to say that we're very strongly committed to going back and doing some more drilling there. We can't do anything, you know, concrete until we see the results of those last three holes, though. Okay. They'll be due in the next couple of weeks. So, you know, we're not talking next year. We're talking about next month. We'll have some sort of announcement around a follow-up at Boda East.
And John Holliday's, he's working with you on this one, isn't he? And he knows this area very well, and he's quietly confident. Would I be correct in saying that?
I think so, yeah. I think John's, you know, certainly experienced enough and now, you know, old and wise enough not to say too much either, but look, it's with his advice in mind that we're saying, you know, we set out to go and find a porphyry complex. We've hit what we wanted to find. I mean, everyone hopes for the big discovery hole. We haven't got that yet. But yeah, he's encouraged enough to go back and have another look. So that's what we'll be doing.
Okay. And he's a smart guy. So if he says, let's go back and keep having a look, there's something there. That's excellent.
The other thing, just to throw this into the mix too, I mean, this may and has in a couple of the calls I've had today, which have been a lot. You know, we've got to remember here we're drilling currently at Menduren as well. So the Menduren tenement is further north.
Yeah.
It's the one where, you know, Newcrest did all that fantastic target generation work. We're into hole two there. And again, we're encouraged by what we're seeing. We've got government money supporting half of the drilling costs there at Menduren. So that's pretty exciting as well. So New South Wales for us is, full steam ahead. We're pretty happy.
Any other news on New South Wales before I move up to a little bit north to Horn Island?
I reckon that's about the roundup on New South Wales, given the time constraints that we've got.
Okay, let's crack on up to a scoping. So you announced today that Horn Island, you got a scoping study really to assess the potential of the open pit resource at Horn Island. And for those people that think Horn Island is somewhere in the middle of nowhere, ladies and gentlemen, you can be from Melbourne to where Alice Queen's deposit is in what, 90 minutes or something? Ridiculous?
From Melbourne, it's a little bit longer than that. But first of all, I've just got to pull you up and correct you. Oh. That announcement was yesterday.
I beg your pardon. Yesterday.
That's going to be important in this discussion for reasons that I'll explain in a few minutes.
Okay.
Yesterday we announced the SCOBY study, so thanks for bringing that up. Look, Horn Island, as all your viewers know, it's been quite a long haul here, but what's really exciting is that we've finished enough infill drilling now around that pit resource to be confident enough to launch a scoping study. And that's quite a big deal, as your viewers would know.
Yeah.
It's not cheap. It's going to cost a few hundred grand to get the gold standard report. But the economics of this thing do look pretty good, prima facie. And the infill drilling is you know, of a standard that we think is so good that we'll pull a very good report together and demonstrate to the market that this thing is very, very valuable. So that was the announcement yesterday. And it's just, I think, worthy of explaining here that we've got a joint venture at Horn Island with St Barbara. The key thing here is that St Barbara is JV into all of the stuff outside of that pit resource. But we've always had this ability, which we think is important, to keep developing that pit resource on our own outside of the JV. So to go into scoping study on it is pretty important for us to demonstrate to everyone that we did this for a reason. We kept that pit resource outside of the JV, so we had this ability to keep developing it on our own. And to go to scoping is a pretty big step forward for us. And down the track, look, I think hopefully the economics will speak for themselves. We're anticipating that report will be out by maybe mid-July. On we go from there.
Okay, so report out mid-July, but also these have previously been mined, but it's been quite some time, hasn't it?
It has been some time, yeah. I think the previous mine was the late 80s. Yeah. But, you know, again, you make a very good point. You reminded me of a very good point. When we appointed a study manager, Peter Fairfield is a very experienced guy from various backgrounds, but does this for a bread and butter part of his living. One of the first things he said to us was, look, this is, in terms of scoping studies, this is a really good one because I'm starting with a previous operating mine. So what has been demonstrated, no matter whether it worked or not back in the 80s, someone produced gold out of this pit at some point previously. So for a scoping study manager, that gives me enormous confidence that it's a great place to start.
What do you think come July? So really what you're looking for with this is to say, this is going to be an economically viable place where we can start a mine. And so really this is starting to take on its own, a life of its own, I guess, in a way.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, well, I think, look, St Barbara has an option to acquire the excluded zones, this part of the JV, back into the JV down the track. So I think it's always been incumbent upon us to make sure that we've developed the maximum value that we can out of the asset that we've got, such that whatever happens down the track, whether St Barbara go ahead or don't go ahead, we've maximised the value for our shareholders independently of that JV.
Yeah, I was just about to say, everything that you're doing at the moment, Andy, and I think that we've spoken about this before, you are very aware of maximising value for shareholders along the way. So you're not sitting back. It's like the last time we spoke, you said that you felt that Horn Island was going to get to this stage, but, you know, back in October, it was still really about doing the drill results, getting some understanding of what you had, and now you're going to the next step. So it's a good next step where you can wait until July, but you're fairly confident that the economics will be fairly robust.
I believe so, yeah. I mean, obviously we've got our own internal numbers that we work with, so we wouldn't launch it unless we were very confident. So yes, that's true. And, I think in the end, one of the other ways I describe it, which, I think would be helpful for your viewers, is Horn Island will become a gold mine again. It's just a question of whether it's a small, highly profitable mine with Alice Queen running it or a much bigger profitable mine with St Barbara running it, with Alice Queen as a major shareholder in that mine. So either way, for our shareholders, I think we've got it covered.
Oh, that's brilliant, actually. And there is significant infrastructure already in place at Horn Island. So that's quite helpful as well, isn't it?
It is very helpful, yeah. I mean, again, in the original scope, original concept study, and obviously in this scoping study, this will be covered in enormous detail by the engineers. But yeah, look, they put a number on the existing infrastructure at Horn Island in the tens of millions. So in other words, if we were to set a mine up in outback New South Wales in the middle of nowhere, we're probably $20 million ahead already just because of what exists at Horn Island already. And just to give you an idea, I mean, there's a power station there. is it runs the small town of Wasaga, is a water supply for Wasaga and for Thursday Island, the major centre next door. There's roads right through to the mine site. There's an internationally graded airport right next door to the mine site. There's accommodation, there's a hospital on Thursday Island. Everything's there. Until you get people on site, they don't kind of recognise it. It looks like it's a long way away, but it's $20 million further advanced in terms of setting up a mine than anywhere else in Queensland if you're in the outback.
I think that's a really important point to make, because a lot of people don't actually, because it's a visual, isn't it? And the visual I wanted to make sure that people understood is, as you say, there's so much already there. So for you to put this into the mind, like once the scoping study comes through and you feel fairly confident with those numbers, the economics look good. Can you just expand a little bit and give me your vision of where to next?
Well, I think ultimately it's very hard to get too far past waiting for the results of the scoping study. But look, St Barbara's done a significant amount of drilling in the JV component late last year. And so I think the market's expecting, and they should expect some results from that drilling, maybe in a month or two. Again, I'm reluctant to always put timelines on a joint partner because they do things differently to us. I won't say they're slower than us, but they do things differently to us. In the next month or two, we'll get some results from the JV drilling. And that all feeds into what they will do next or what they want to do next in the JV. And this is kind of the key point over again. We always knew that the JV would be have a different timeline and a different agenda to, just Alice Quinn and Carrigal on its own. That's why we kept the two things separate. Whatever the JV wants to do is what it wants to do. It doesn't hinder our development of our own asset. And that's the key point.
How did you keep that main asset out of the JV? I mean, I would have thought that, St Barbara, they're a big organisation. Pretty clever way to just keep this one separate. I just want to ask that question because it kind of gives you two bites of the cherry.
It's a good question, and I have to be very careful. I can't really answer the question in the way that I would love to right now, but let's just say it wasn't entirely of our own making. It wasn't entirely our own genius. It kind of just evolved in that way. Maybe I'm being a bit modest as well, but it evolved in a way where St Barbara had a certain agenda. By keeping the pit resource out of it, we could achieve both our agenda and their agenda perfectly.
Okay.
It wasn't genius. It was a lot more good fortune, but clever negotiation at the end, I suppose.
Right.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, well, I want to move on now to the Fiji announcement, which happened today. You've got two gold projects in Fiji. And my first thing would be to say to you, Andy, it's been a big week for Alice Quinn with the Horn Island. You've got the New South Wales project. I'm going to be tough on you now and say, why are you moving into Fiji with everything else that's going on?
Yes, that's a very good question and one that I've had to address probably 20 times today.
Don't keep saying that. I feel like I'm the last bride at the wedding.
No, that's okay. No, but not in these sort of forums, just with our own shareholders, because we obviously had to keep it completely under wraps. The key thing is, and again, if we go back to one step to the voluntary halt. Now, we went into halt on Monday morning, and one of the key things that we were wanting to do and what we tried to make very clear, and we're going to make it clear again to your viewers, is that we're not just racing off to Fiji. Fiji has been something we've been working on for a number of years.
Yeah.
First time these assets came across my desk was actually in 2014, 2015. Can you believe it? All that time ago. So it's years ago.
Yeah.
It came to us from our technical team, John Holliday. It came to him through one of his close colleagues in Patrick Crenane. And they were assets that we really loved, and it was strongly recommended to us to grab them. We spent a number of years looking at them and trying to work out a deal and a way in which we could get hold of them. But one thing, again, that's become very clear to me today is we don't pay for assets. We've developed, and I include Dale McCabe, my co-director in this, we've developed a skill in being very patient, very cost conscious, and not wasting our shareholders' money going to buy things. When by being patient and being stealthy and systematic, we can actually get hold of these things for nothing for our shareholders. And when I say nothing, I mean Fiji, it's taken us, you know, 2 years in earnest and probably 6 years looking at them to get these things for next to nothing. One of these assets, Nambila in Fiji, comes with non-JORC compliant. I've got to be careful how I say this. But we're aware of a number of reports that are circulating around a resource of 150,000 ounces, non-JORC compliant. Now, that doesn't sound like much, but you know, a couple of the analysts I've spoken to today, I put a value on that of between $100 and $130 an ounce. There's 15 or 20 million bucks worth of value that potentially, I'm going to say potentially, just for the record, is available with just one of the tenements we've just acquired. But it's taken us 6 years of you know, not working every day, but just making sure that we're on top of the job. It's very clear to us that that's what we did with Horn Island. That took us 3 years just to make sure we could actually convince the government to switch around the legislation and let us back in there.
Yeah.
New South Wales is the same. We didn't pay anything for any of those tenements. We pegged them ourselves. So I think the message that we're trying to put forward that everyone should be aware of is Alice Queen, as a project generation company, has got a real skill and one we can now demonstrate three times over. We spend the time, we systematically keep an eye on these tenements, we nab them when we can. That takes time, and Fiji is a perfect example of it. 15 to 20 million bucks worth of notional value for what's effectively cost the shareholders two or three trips to Fiji and, you know, 3 or 4 years of our time in the background.
Okay, and Fiji, for those of you that think, why Fiji? Well, Fiji does have a long history of gold mining. And you've teamed up, I have to mention this, Andy, you've teamed up with a local businessman. I think his name is John Zande, but you got to tell the story because he's a smart guy. He's an investment banker. He's very well known in Fiji. And he's just explain how this is going to work and who John is and how this came about. And yeah,
good call. The fundamentals of doing business in Fiji is you have to have, not unlike most countries around the world, you have to have a locally domiciled company. When we were first attracted to the assets that we've been speaking about, we had sat down with the lawyers. We worked, you know, had the options put in front of us, one of which was to set up our own Fiji company. That was very complex and very time consuming. The other option, of course, was to find a company that existed already in Fiji and to effectively buy that company and then put your resources into that company to get the tenements, if that makes sense.
Yep.
And we chose the latter, and we put the word around amongst our group to find someone down there. And I won't tell you exactly the story because that's almost too funny. Your viewers would find it too ridiculous for words. But one of the guys, in fact, it was our chairman, had a contact, which, in cutting a long story short, became this guy, John Sando. And on a couple of Google searches, we worked out this guy's not only heavily involved in mining and commercial operations in Fiji, but he happens to be a former rugby union quarterfinals player. Yeah, exactly. Now, being from Melbourne, of course, we're not necessarily that big into rugby, but we all know rugby union. We've all watched those finals with the Wallabies and so forth. So anyway, we flew down there, we met this guy, and he was just a fantastic guy, like really charismatic, smart. In the end, had done his degree in Canberra and worked most of his life in Brisbane. So very much almost like an Aussie.
Right.
He'd recently moved back with his family. He's got some young kids to Suva. And so we kind of felt like we had the best of both worlds. A guy who understood Australians and Australian business, and knew everyone in Fiji, and I do. It's not really a gag, but it's just a reflection. To put this in perspective, a quarter finals Fiji rugby union player would be the equivalent of me walking down Collins Street with Shane Warne. Like, this guy is a star in Fiji. Everyone in the government, to the Prime Minister, they all know this guy. So,
oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
They're big names. I mean, Fiji rugby is huge.
Absolutely enormous, I'm telling you. So is he going to be your local director in Fiji? Is that?
Sorry, I was waffling on there, but yes, he's our local director and, just a super guy, super smart guy. We've also got a couple of other local guys, believe it or not, a French geologist who's previously worked in NewCal but studied in Paris. So Melvin, he's a fantastic guy, very charismatic. And then Torzia, who's our country manager, our local landowner liaison guy. So the team of three down there, Yeah, they're already underway. So
okay, and the local company is, I have to bring this up as well, it's called Viti Mining. And yes, for those that don't know, what does Viti stand for?
Well, Viti, yeah, it's a good question. Viti is the traditional name for Fiji by the traditional owners of the indigenous population. Viti is Fiji.
They'll love it. They'll love it. Now, just
Viti Mining.
We've got to finish up in a second, but I just want to wrap this all up. So two gold projects in Fiji. One is a historic mine that has had production on it, but it really closed in 58. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's very small scale. I mean, we're only trying to demonstrate to the extent that there's been gold produced there in the same way that Peter Fairfield says that about Hort Island.
Yep.
It's not a big deal, but it's a big deal. There's gold come out of the ground at that location. It's not a bad place to start, Kerry.
It's a good place to start. And then you've got Greenfield Project on top of that.
Yep.
So what are the next steps for Fiji?
Next steps for Fiji, well, the boy's already underway. I think the key thing is that the resource that's circulating, you know, around in these reports that are non-JORC compliant, I'm going to say it one more time, our first job is to verify and see if we can build up enough information around some further exploration that we're in control of to make that resource JORC compliant. That'll be the first pass. In Fiji, the government's so enthusiastic about mining now. It's almost it's beautiful because the tourism's been decimated by COVID.
Yeah,
there was one of the reasons we went into halt was there was this is worthy of a quick story. There was a ceremony in Suva on Friday with Sande, Melvin, and Torsia, our three local guys, with the mines minister of Fiji. Now we were thinking that's not going to be a really big deal, but you know, Kerry, they had the whole summit. There was, you know, TV crews, press. It's a big deal in Fiji that we've got these licenses. It's a big deal that Sande's involved. It's a big deal that there's an Australian company backing Viti in terms of spending some money down there. They're very, very enthusiastic about mining. And so it's our view that we could probably be in production down there in a couple of years in terms of that. I mean, this is very optimistic talk, but they are very enthusiastic in a way which we haven't seen, you know, in any other areas that we've worked
out. Well, Andy, I think it's what you just said a moment ago. You know, COVID has decimated the tourism industry. They are desperate to get things back up and moving. This is one way they can do it. John Sande is a local hero. Well done. That is fabulous news. But that's very exciting what you're doing there. Horn Island scoping study. New South Wales still underway. And as you said before, Fiji is not a distraction. It's what you're talking about, which is another project that you can nurture and manage, and it doesn't take anything away from the other two projects. Any last comments for our investors? Because, by the way, you've probably been too busy today, but the market has liked the news because I think your share price was up something like 18% on the news today.
Right. I honestly haven't had a chance to have a look. I've had a couple of comments from a few of the boys saying it's going well, but I'm always too scared to look on days like this, but thank you. I'm glad it's going well.
Yep, it's going well. Any final comments to our investor audience out there that are saying, we told you, ladies and gentlemen, that there'd be lots of news and we're bringing it to you today?
I think that's probably a great way to sum up here. We had a bit of criticism for probably a number of months where we had gone very quiet. And I think it's just a reminder to everyone that, you know, when things are quiet, it's not that we're being quiet, it's just that we can't announce things or that things haven't quite come to fruition. And all of a sudden it seems to us that now it's all coming to fruition and we've got announcements going everywhere and it seems like a frenzy, but it's the work we've been doing in those quiet times. Yeah.
The quiet achiever, Andy Buxton, Managing Director of Alice Queen, thanks for talking to Small Caps today. And I look forward to seeing all of this play out a little bit more and maybe going up and playing a bit of rugby in the near future in Fiji.
You'll like John Sande. Thanks, Kerry.